Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Debastian. Thank you for joining us tonight. As you know, I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight are my co-hosts, Kim and Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Kim's a beautiful woman as well. She's a divorced mother of two. She's just started a new career. She's a hairdresser, and I'm sure she'll share some of that with us tonight. She also had another job in the past, and she's learned an awful lot about men and what makes them tick. And please remember, this is a call-in show. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. Now, I know many of you told me you were going to call in tonight, so I hope you're not going to be shy or afraid, because this is a really good topic tonight. It's really positive and upbeat. It's about the greatest gift that you can give to another is the gift of unconditional love, freely given with no strings attached. This gift has nothing to do with material things, objects, or possessions. In this new millennium, gifts of the heart will be the kinds of things that we'll be giving to each other. These rough economic times are God's way of asking us to look deep within to find ways to express love without using your charge cards or going into debt. Join us today to discuss how you can say I love you through words and deeds. Joining us tonight will also be T.J. Clemente, an award-winning journalist who writes for Dan's paper, which is the voice of Long Island's East End. He's also my soulmate and my very best friend. So I hope all of you have been thinking about the kinds of things that we can do that express unconditional love. But before we go there, I'm going to turn to page 38 of the book, Grant Me a Higher Love. And that's the page that says, what feelings, emotions, and traits characterize unconditional love? Those are things like joy, serenity, generosity, bliss, happiness, humility, excitement, hope, faith, forgiveness, trust, optimism, laughter, endurance, patience, peace, abundance, radiant health, vitality, passion without drama, sacred sexuality, tenderness, learning, wisdom, kindness, healing, freedom, creativity, courage, commitment, beauty, caring, personal growth, spirituality, balance, ecstasy, compassion, empathy, tolerance, being non-judgmental, spontaneity, fun, healthy pleasure, fulfilled desires, and gratitude. Now, when we give of ourselves and we give joyfully, you're giving a gift to someone. And just by being a joyful human being, by working on being a happy person and not a negative person, is a gift you give someone, because you make the vibrations in the room and around you really be high and with feelings of love. Now, in the movie Sleeping Beauty in Disney, if you remember, Fauna and Flora gave Sleeping Beauty two gifts, the gift of song and the gift of beauty. None of them were material gifts. They were gifts of song and beauty. Last week we talked about music and how it can add to our love life, and today we're going to be talking about other kinds of gifts that we can give. Now, Kim, I know you're a person who surrounds your world with beauty. Even being a hairdresser and making the world a more beautiful place is a gift that you're giving, and your home is a beautiful place, so when people walk in it,
thank you,
that's a gift given to them. You feel the joy and the beauty there. Now, I don't know if you thought about this topic today. I know you always do. What kinds of gifts would you give to someone, that special someone, that soulmate?
Well, I'm a pretty spontaneous person, so it could be anything at any given moment. Just a lot of laughter and a lot of fun, and, you know, I try to, well, I'm currently not in a relationship, but in the past I've tried to lighten things up and bring a lot of laughter and fun and, you know, just a lot of, you know, fun.
Fun and laughter. Yes, laughter is an important component of a relationship. TJ and I laugh a lot, I think, and, you know, I think he can say that we do. We try to have spontaneous fun, and, you know, we both have kind of hectic schedules, so, you know, we have to kind of squeeze in fun whenever we can have it. So we're not always going to be able to, you know, say, let's have, you know, tonight to, you know, have 5 hours of fun, but fun can be just, you know, over breakfast or just in the middle of the day, a little bit of laughter. And those are the kinds of gifts that we need to give each other. Another important gift is the gift of kindness. You know, human beings are pretty dysfunctional at times, and meanness seems to be a part of the human nature. We see it in children. We see it in adults. And what I always try to reinforce is that kindness is the highest evolution of a human being. So if you can give the gift of kindness, even when you're not sometimes feeling so kind, that would be a very, very important thing to do. Nicole, today you were talking about in your own day, you gave yourself a gift of unconditional love. You were stressed out at the PlayStation and working hard, and you went outside and you started to sketch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, as I'm sure all of our listeners know now, whatever, I am an absolute workaholic and will be for the next probably 9 months or so. But, you know, I just found myself getting into a funk, and when I get into a funk, because I'm there as much as I do, my business gets into a funk, and it doesn't really make me very happy. So I, you know, kind of went back to basics with that a little bit, and, you know, I started doing things that I had stopped doing because I was either too tired to, or I just didn't feel like it, or I just thought that I should be spending my time, you know, doing other things. So, you know, I think that it's important to stress that if you're going to love another person, you have to love you too. So that also means that you need to give some things to yourself so that you can have something to give another person, you know. And in this case, you know, right now it happens to be work-related, but, you know, I started getting stressed out, you know, recently and everything else. And I started taking my sketchbook back to work, you know, and whenever I feel myself just getting, like, out of control, you know, I'll go outside and I'll sit in the sun for, you know, 15 minutes or so, and I'll just sketch something, or I'll just doodle or whatever on the page. You know, and I also bring my thumb drive with me. So, you know, if I have to, I go into the back of, you know, of the office. And, you know, I have some different things that I have been working on the thumb drive. And I just, you know, sit there and write or draw or do something that makes me happy.
Okay, so if your soulmate came into your life and you were all stressed out, wouldn't it be nice if your soulmate told you, why don't you sit down and sketch for 15 minutes and calm down?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, as soulmates, it's our job to try to remind our partners when they're getting stressed out, and God knows I get stressed out. I work a lot of hours, and, you know, I often need to sort of be reminded to take it down a notch. Now, TJ, you're a pretty creative guy, and, you know, our relationship is new, and so, of course, it's spontaneous and fun. We hope we can keep that always, but are there things that you like to do that make you feel that you're giving a gift of your heart and of love? We're not talking about material things here because we don't really care about that today.
Well, I just, you know, I think that the sincere compliment and encouragement and put out positive vibe when someone's sort of getting in the funk is probably the nicest gift or the best course of action to take. I don't even know if it's a course of action. I think it's just a natural thing and you're really feeling it.
Hmm.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, I think it can be natural. I think, you know, part of the problem is, you know, with people is it is natural to be giving compliments and being positive, but when we're stressed out, we don't always feel that way. So it's really taking that extra time to pay some attention to your partner. A compliment is always appreciated. I'm sure, you know, we've got three women here that are on this side of the interview.
Well, I'll tell you.
We like to hear a compliment, yes?
Yes.
No, absolutely.
I've been also giving Cindy some wonderful Tate's cookies.
Yes, Tate's cookies.
They're really tasty. I don't know if you all know about Tate's cookies. but they're from Kathleen King, and she named them for her dad. His name is Tater or whatever, and they're wonderfully tasty cookies, and they're locally made out in Southampton, now also in Santa Mariches, in one of those places. But she opened up a new when she expanded last year. I'm not plugging. I have not seen it, but Sydney loves them.
Right. He brings me cookies from Southampton, and it's not giving me $1 million, but it's giving me something that's very thoughtful. And, you know, Kim knows about preparing.
I keep the cookie jar full.
Yeah, the cookie jar.
I love to cook for people myself. I actually love to cook, and anything that anybody has ever wanted, you know, that I could fulfill that desire, you know, it makes me happy to do it, so.
Right, and that's the kind of gift we can do. We can make nice meals for people and healthy meals. You know, if you love someone, you want them to be healthy. So, you know, that's part of life, is loving someone and being healthy. So I know you're a very good cook, and I've had one of your meals, and it was prepared with great love. And, you know, I try to prepare meals with great love when I have the time. Sometimes I'm just not having the time that I wish I had. But, again, it's just taking a little time to do those things for the person you love. And, you know, it's a busy world nowadays, so when people do take the time to do things, you know, we have to appreciate it. And that's another gift of gratitude, being in gratitude for the things that people do for you, saying thank you. You know, that those are gifts of the heart, just learning to say thank you and not take for granted that someone's going to be doing the things, you know, that they took the time and remembering that. You know, Nicole, even at work, when you're at work, or you work with your partner, Phil, he's a friend of yours, do you try to make your workplace where you're feeling the two of you are, you know, giving gifts of the heart, trying to make your job easier?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We both, you know, I mean, there are times that we definitely bump heads and everything, but, you know, the other day, actually, he did something really, really sweet for me. Basically, I had been working doubles, you know, for the last 3.5 weeks. I hadn't had a day off in 3.5 weeks. And I've been giving him his time and his day off because he's got family to think about and things like that. And so the other night, actually last Thursday, after the show, he told me to come back to the store because I had to go to work and we had a lot to do and we had an owner's meeting. So I was like, great, now I got to go back to work. So I went all the way back to work, and then he's like, we have to go to Stony Brook for the owner's meeting. So I was like, great. So we're driving to Stony Brook after the show last week, and then we get over to the other plane trade that's located over there, and I'm like, nobody's here. And he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I know that you love Megan Fox, and Transformers is still in the theater, so why don't we go see it? And he wound up taking me to the movies, you know, when we were supposed to be working, but he wound up taking me to the movies instead because he knew that I just needed some sort of normalcy. And he does stuff like that for me all the time, and I do that for him too, so it was very nice.
Right, and that's, again, if you're seeing someone a little bit stressed out, it always helps not to take it personally because it's usually not about us. You know, a person's having a stressed out day, and if we can ease that stress by being a little positive or asking how can I help you and what can I do for you to make your day easier, those are really what we appreciate the most in life. You know, when we're really a little bit overwhelmed and somebody just sort of lightens the load a little bit, and you just really can feel that and sense that, and chipping in a little bit to help each other. Now, also, we were talking in the book that passion without drama is something to strive for. That's a gift from the heart. I know a lot of my clients don't seem to know the difference between passion without drama. And, you know, it's not all this heavy mess that makes life exciting. But to be a passionate person is something that you can work on. And when we're happy and we're doing work that fulfills us, that's creative, that helps us be filled with passion and to deliver that into our relationships. Kim's got a new job as a hair colorist and stylist. Is that making you feeling a little bit more passionate in your life?
Well, it makes me feel normal. I do have to say, I feel like a regular woman now. Unfortunately, I did have a bad scissors accident this week.
Uh-oh, I
don't give the clumsy girl scissors. But
did you cut yourself, I hope, not your
client?
Yeah,
pretty bad, yeah.
Oh, my God. But better than your client.
Yeah. But
were you dyeing her hair red that day?
No, but she did have a lot of red in it at that point. But, you know, it just it makes me feel alive again. It makes me feel normal. And, you know, when my daughter had said to me, "Mommy, I'm so happy that we can tell people where you work now," that made me feel good. And they're so wonderfully positive and encouraging all the time. And I'm glad I can teach that to them. So.
Okay, and your daughter said words, okay. Words are probably one of the most powerful tools you can use to bring a relationship much more intimate. It's communicating. It's trying to talk if something's bothering you. I remember my expression is say what you mean what you say, but don't be mean about it. So, you know, if we can learn to communicate deeper and better, you know, my own parents who had, you know, went from cellmate to sort of mediocre sitcom marriage, now at the hour of my mother's death, my father can't do enough for her. You know, he makes sure she has every person who could help her, and that he sits and holds her hand, and she seems to be a little bit terrified, and he does everything to make her feel better and to tell her that he loves her. And I see that as, you know, God having kept them together long enough to come full circle. And it's really quite touching to see how attentive he is of her, and how all he wants to see is that she's eating and that she's cared for, and that, I mean, he even has her nails done every week. I mean, she's dying, and here he has someone come to do her nails because she always had her nails done. And whether she's even comprehending that or not, I'm not sure. But those are touching gestures to me, that he's going that little extra mile for her. And, you know, if we can do that not just at the hour of someone's death, always, you know, what can I do to help you or make your life a more meaningful place and make you feel better about yourself and about your day? And, you know, Nicole's a workaholic, and, you know, I tend to be a workaholic and work a lot. And, you know, when I'm stressed out, it's really nice, you know, to come to have TJ just hold me, or just, you know, be very kind to me and sweet to me and say, "Can I give you a massage? What can I do to make you feel better?" And, you know, those things go a long way to make us feel loved and appreciated. And it's not, you know, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to, when you're tired, to be a nice person. But it's something if we can work at. And you know, I'm blessed to have a new relationship, and that gives me an opportunity to not make the same mistakes I've made in the past. And, you know, that's what it's about. Every time we're given a new soulmate, it's another chance to, like, can I get it right this time? And,
well, I think
the
awareness is the most important thing, and that gives you a cutting edge, so.
Well, that's it. And, you know, to catch ourselves in behaviors that we're not proud of or that we don't like is always an important aspect. And, you know, soulmate love brings out the best in us. And as soon as our relationships are not bringing out the best in us, we've got to stop and slow down and take a look and say, why isn't it bringing out the best in me anymore? Is it me? Is it this person? Is it that we're not trying anymore? And, you know, I can't stress enough that love is a ladder, and just because we're given a soulmate doesn't mean it's going to stay that way. If we don't watch our behavior, it goes down to mediocre sitcom marriage pretty quick.
Well, I hear a lot of it is what it is, so, you know, I don't know if people are really focused on the relationship as a whole, or they just settle for what they have, and it doesn't matter if it's, you know, great, because any relationship can be great at any time. It just takes awareness, practice, focus. But I think a lot of people just get very complacent and say, well, this is it.
Okay, a great gift of the heart could be to heal your issues. I mean, you know, if you have an addiction that's really out of control, if you could heal that, that's a great gift to give to your children or to your lover. It's healing ourselves. If we have issues that, you know, are making us less than intimate, to heal ourselves is a great gift, because, you know, a healed person is a peaceful person. People who are not healed are not peaceful. You know, you can always tell an unhealed person because they really make life difficult to be near them and around them. So, you know, by knowing yourself, loving yourself, and healing yourself, those are good preparations for a good soulmate relationship. And, you know, Kim and Nicole have been working very hard this whole year at healing their issues and trying to understand all they can about love. And that's a great gift you're going to give the soulmate who comes into your life, that you've spent all this time learning about love. It brings an awareness. I imagine that's why you're doing this. Is it part of your reason that you want, when you're given another soulmate or the soulmate that you've been waiting for,
I want to be the greatest person I can be for that other person.
Exactly.
And I have a complete awareness, and although I cannot turn back the pages in time, you know, I wonder if I knew then what I know now, if things would have been different. But I can't really focus on the past, so I have more excitement for the future anyway.
Well, that's why, you know, God says make mistakes, many mistakes. No, just don't keep making the same ones. I don't think you're going to make the same ones.
No.
No.
So, you know, and that's what I think. If we can, you know, see the things that we've been doing that are not good, that are, you know, that are not really the greatest things, that, you know, if you've had, you know, 8 different, you know, lovers and they all say the same thing about you, that you're doing something that drives them nuts, you know, all 8 people can't be wrong, you know. Maybe we have to start examining our own behavior. And, you know, I think being that I was raised with such dysfunction, I had no choice but to examine my behavior constantly because there were a lot of things that I wasn't proud of. And working over the years on those things, I'm getting to the point where I'm happy with the human being I am. And it's not perfect. I'm far from it. But I certainly can see the long way that I've gone. And I think that brings a certain ease to a relationship that, you know, if you heal your issues and you're pretty happy with yourself. I mean, that was one of the things that I put on my soulmate list. Remember, we have that list, what your ideal soulmate would be.
I just added 4 more things to the list today.
Okay. Well, I wanted a happy soulmate. I mean, TJ's a happy guy. He brings happiness to the equation. And that's an important thing when you're with a person who's, you know, happy and they like the work they're doing. I think, Kim, that's what you're moving toward, being a person who's happy and liking the work she's doing.
Yeah, and it's not really, you know, right now it's not really about the money. Everybody doesn't understand it. How could you do this? I said, it's not about the money. I had to divorce my job. Ooh. Even though the money was there, I was not happy. And how can I tell everybody money isn't everything when I'm not walking, you know, the talk? So.
And so that's an important change you've made in your life, and you know, moving toward liking yourself and being proud of, you know, the kinds of things that we're doing really do help us be better in a relationship. Now, TJ, you're very quiet, and TJ is not often very quiet, so I'm surprised.
Well, I was just thinking, you know, it's when you reach a sort of a nirvanic peace of mind and you really appreciate where you are in life and what you're doing, and all of a sudden, like, all this wisdom starts seeping its way into your subconscious or your behavior or whatever, I think that, you know, some sort of a sea change sort of happens, and then all of a sudden you'll find that people seem to find you more agreeable, and everyone's, it all starts with, I think the whole genesis of it all starts with you really liking who you are and what you're doing, and then everything else comes to that. Like the, you know, positive energy attracts positive energy.
That's right. Like attracts like. We just said that.
Right. And, of course, in the laws of attraction, if you're a peaceful person, you're going to have peaceful people gravitate to you. If you're an angry person, you're going to have angry people gravitating to you. So, you know, I find in being, you know, working toward being a good human being, all of your relationships should be getting better. You know, at work, at play, with your children. Do you find all of your relationships getting better?
Yes, actually, and I still have customers calling me. More now than they ever have.
Okay. Well, they
and not for any other thing but to talk, so that's pretty cool. So.
Okay, and they want to talk. That's a gift of the heart. When you allow people to talk, sometimes, you know, you don't have all the answers. People have heavy-duty problems that I don't know if we're ever going to be able to solve them. But if we can just listen, not always try to fix it because we can't, and not always, you know, even saying much, but just being there to let people talk with us is a great gift. And I think it's one of the things that really characterizes my relationships with people, because I don't have much spare time and free time. So when I speak to my friends or people in my life, it's meaningful conversation. And I really know what's going on in their lives. And if I can have some help to offer, I certainly will. But it's just nice to have somebody listen. You know, I mean, with that you're not paying to listen, too. You know, sometimes, you know, the only people...
You know,
people
and
have
Cindy, what I tell people, it's mostly just positive encouragement, and they don't know how to do it themselves, and I just say, you know, whatever you dream and whatever your desires are, you can have it. That's all I really say, and pretty much most of the time they're pretty happy getting off the phone with me until the next day or two, but, you know, just a lot of positive words and positive encouragement. And it's working for me, so why can't it work for anybody else, you know?
And of course,
well, I think people just overall underestimate the power of a good ear. You know, I mean, they're so used to people saying things that maybe they don't want to hear, that they're not used to being able to just talk and speak their mind and not be judged for whatever words are coming out of their mouth. Sometimes they just have stuff that they need to get out, and they don't want to be judged for it. And I think that that's where sometimes the whole, you know, art of conversation falls short.
But isn't it, if I may interrupt
sure.
slightly, but isn't it
just remember,
now,
I control the mute,
part,
TJ. So.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Excuse me. It just seems that I think on that point about talking is that as you get more seasoned, I guess is a good phrasing, and after you've done some things, and you learn what to say and how to say it. You know, sometimes, you know, it's all in delivery and the phraseology, because if you say something, it may be, it's all in tone, it's all in, but as you get wiser, I don't want to say the word older, wiser, I think sometimes you change the words around when you're going to make a suggestion. Or a...
Oh, I don't know about that. There's a lot of negative people out there, TJ.
I'm not saying that they're
I just
not.
Try to
I'm
keep it
saying,
very positive and...
No, but what I'm just saying is that that's... I mean, what you just said is true, but what I'm saying is we're talking about the individual and not... You know, we're talking about you, yourself, or me, myself, or the individual. As we get more seasoned, I think we learn how to talk to people. I think by... You know, in the past when we were younger, we were probably more brash, more to the point, more in people's faces. And I think eventually as you grow longer in the tooth or wider in the bark or whatever the heck it is, you tend to learn how to communicate with people and to be more effective communicator. You know, how to basically say what you mean to say, but in the proper tone and way.
And it's important.
Does anyone understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I think that you definitely have a point there, but at the same time, there are a lot of people out there that are completely, completely just remiss of those lessons. You know, I mean, I've come across people that are much younger than me. I've come across people that are significantly older than me. And you only really learn how to speak to people when you want to. You know, because there are certain people that, I mean, even in the store, I have customers coming and giving me hugs and kisses, hello, like I am their best friend. I had, you know, a 14-year-old come into my store, and when his friend asked who that was after he kissed me, hello, say, oh, she's just like my mom. You know, and this is a kid that's just a patron of the store that just comes in every day just to see me, just to have somebody give him the time of day. I have adults that come in, you know, take their kids there, tell their kids to go pick out a game and play just to see what I'm going to say that particular day. Mm-hmm. You know, so people, I think, when they want to learn how to talk to others, they do. And with age comes wisdom, but sometimes, you know, you can be really, really turned off by that kind of wisdom, because then you'd have to face the fact that all these years you might have been doing something wrong.
Well, I fully acknowledge that I've done a lot of things wrong in the way it's spoken.
Say, along the same lines, you know, we got into all of our crack-ups, I guess, by saying the wrong things, right?
Yes.
Well, I would have to say over time in relationships you get complacent.
There were crisis moments when the wrong words came out and became irreparable, or whatever the word is.
Right, and of course there's no problem in the world that couldn't have been solved by the proper words. It's the wrong words that can incite a war, or you know, a breakup, or you know, breakup of a friendship or a relationship, because we just didn't choose our words carefully, or we wanted to incite that war for some reason. And we all know how to do that. Children know how to do it. You watch children fight. They can be pretty mean when they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
we watched you do it about 20 minutes ago.
And an older gentleman who's still around said to me 30 years ago, when you raise your voice, you've already lost the argument.
Right.
That is true.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that one.
And I think if we could all learn not to yell, I mean, I always say that if you profess to love someone, there's no reason you have to yell at them. And I know it's not easy because, you know, I'm half Italian, and boy, yelling was part of, like, you know, you yelled, is the macaroni ready? I mean, everything was a yell, you know. And so I had to learn to, like, take it down a couple of notches. But by the same token, my father was Italian, but my mother was Finnish, and my mother didn't speak much, so I don't know which is worse, the coldness of someone not speaking or the screaming.
She had nothing to say. She was finished.
She was finished.
Oh, that was the worst joke ever, TJ. Oh, my
well,
God.
Well, I will give her that credit. That's because she was finished. She could say anything. But
that means that Kim is going to love that joke, and she's probably going to try to repeat it.
Right. And so, again, okay, so even telling a joke is a gift of the heart. I mean, you know, making somebody laugh the moment they need to laugh. And, you know, sometimes if you can diffuse a situation with some humor and or get somebody off a hook, you know, because they've really been, you know, just talked themselves into a corner, if you can be the one to sort of diffuse that tension, it's always greatly appreciated, especially with children, because they can sometimes really just keep going on, and they don't even know how to get themselves out of the mess they've got themselves into.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, guiding children a little bit. I mean, as a children's entertainer, I did do 10,000 children's shows, and people would always say to me, be amazed, how do you control these kids? And I said, it's not my intention to control them. I love them. And in loving them, they want to be good, and they just want to have a good time. So it was never about controlling them. It really, truly was about loving them. And being near millions of children taught me to be more spontaneous, taught me to wear my heart on my sleeves. I mean, when you do a kid's party, when you're leaving, they hug and kiss you and tell you they love you. It doesn't, you know, they've only met you for an hour, but they love you and they tell you. So it's amazing how children by nature are very loving and spontaneous. We sort of lose some of that. And, you know, I have clients who have been with people for 4 or 5 years and they have never told the person that they love, they haven't said they love each other. And I find that to be really strange. Well, do you love them? Yeah, but they never say the word. So.
But the other thing is, I think you have to be metaphysically in a position to absorb love. You have to be
well,
able to
Well, people definitely have a problem
receiving
love, yes.
You know, I mean, absorb it what's the word, osmosis type of way, just have it flow into you and not have your reflectors or rejectors out so that it can just sort of ooze into you. You have to be receptive to it. You have to be open to it all the way around in all different ways and all your senses and so forth, subconsciously and consciously.
Right.
And I think that's such an important, it's like you have to open the windows to the house to let the spring air in. And if you have your windows shut, there's no spring air coming into the house. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
anyway.
It is. It's letting love in, because people really do block love. They don't, you know, and the greatest invitation to love is to be loving first. So if you can give that invitation to love, people will come forward. A lot of people are shy, and so, you know, there's people that are missing opportunities of love because, you know, if you have your own fear of rejection or abandonment, you might care for a person, but they're not really expressing it to you because they're shy. So sometimes it takes a little bit of courage, the gift of courage, to go to someone and let them know how you feel. You know, the worst thing they could do is reject you, but, you know, it might turn out that that person has the same feelings for you. They're just a little afraid to express it. So it is overcoming our own fears of rejection, and that will make love flow through. And it's not always easy to do that, but it's really, if you can, it's really helpful. And another gift is the gift of commitment, of being able to put 2 feet into a relationship. You know, one of the first things TJ said to me, that he would put 2 feet in this relationship and commit to it. And that was very moving to me because, you know, I've known what it is to be with a commitment phobic who can't put 2 feet in a relationship, so...
Yeah, and the strangest thing was I was not looking for a relationship. I mean, I did not.
That's usually when it happens.
But the funny thing was I was really happy. I was convinced that I was going to have this, like, monk existence for the rest of my life where I was enjoying what I was doing work-wise, and I had this dog, and I had basically nothing. I mean, no luxurious type situations. I sort of lived right off of the ocean, which wasn't bad. But other than that, you know, and I was content with it. And I was convinced that that was going to be, you know, that was going to be my end game. And I ran into Cindy by accident, and I don't know if she's ever told you, but I told her like the first sentence that she reminded me of me. And I don't know if that was a compliment or, but anyway, moving right along there. When she asked about the commitment part, I said, I'm going to go in with both feet. Why not? You know, I just, you know, it was just kind of a spontaneous decision to say, okay, let's just go with it.
Well,
chances
are, TJ, you had to come to that resolve first. It probably would have never happened if you weren't completely comfortable in the existence that you were in. You know, there are a lot of people out there that are looking for love and that are just so desperately trying to be in love, and they're attaching themselves onto anything that they seem to stick to for a few moments. But once you're really truly at ease with yourself, with your position in life, and with where you are and with who you are, that's usually when love comes knocking on your door, because it means that you've accepted, you know, everything that is in your life. You've accepted yourself on your terms. You've accepted life on life's terms.
That's kind of what I said. You have to be really, you know, happy with yourself and where you are, and then you're in a position to absorb love, and you give it out because you're happy. You know, you're not discriminating. He's getting the love. She's not getting. When you're in a really good mood, everybody gets your 90-cent smile, you know? And so, quite honestly, I was just really in a real, you know, I don't know if Cindy ever told you all this, but, you know, I'm a writer, and, you know, the newspaper industry is not really flowering and all the papers going out of business. And they had reduced what I was getting paid for articles by like one-third, I mean, to one-third of what I was getting paid. And I was really upset about it back in, like, February 12th or something. And so I went home, and I was going to quit. I was going to do. And instead, I went on this ridiculous diet. I lost, like, 47 pounds. I was working out. I said, I'm going to take this negative and turn it into a positive.
Yay.
And then, of course, you know, I got a little bit too thin, and then I had to. But the point was that, you know, all of this other, you know, I got proactive. I was whistling. You could see running out on the beach, all this kind of weird stuff. And I think at the end of the day, I was just really happy at what I had done and where I was. And then, you know, I went to a party really to see someone's mother who was 90 years old or some number like that. And Cindy was talking to her. And I was going to be there for 5 to 10 minutes at most. And Cindy was talking to her. And that's in the second sentence. She just reminded me of me. Mm-hmm. And so I just laughed. And I had no idea that I'd ever see her more than those 5 minutes. But I really enjoyed her, the flow of her conversation. As you all know, she's a pretty unique person. I'm really blessed to be able to bask in the glow of her wisdom on a regular basis. And quite honestly, it's just entertaining existing around her. And what more could you say about someone that you really like than what I just said?
And again, it was
impressed.
Both of us recognizing something. So it was being spontaneous, being open. The universe brings two people together. It is a gift. And if you can receive that gift, and it's unconditional love, you know, got no strings attached. You just got this gift. Why don't you take it and run with it? And, you know, I think both TJ and I are the same age. And so, you know, we're old enough to, like, know that, you know, this gift isn't at your doorstep every day. And so it's brought us to a place where we can enjoy it more because of that and kind of feel blessed about it. But, you know, when love comes to your door, it's a gift and receive it. And, you know, another great gift of the heart is to be a person of your word. You know, if you say to someone you're going to do something or be there for them, you make a plan and you, you promise you're going to come forward and you don't, that's a really hurtful thing. And I think a lot of people say the words or they promise things and they don't deliver them. And, you know, I was impressed with TJ saying the words and delivering, you know, and that was important to me because I had, you know, long time been in pain for someone who could not deliver what they promised. And I know that's hitting a note in Kim.
Is that a message? Is that a message into the universe?
No, it's a message to Kim because.
Well,
Kim,
I can only speak for myself
today.
When I say, I am a woman of my word. Anything I say I'm going to do, I do. And I've yet to experience that in a partner. So I am asking the universe for somebody who can step up to the plate and be reliable.
Is that on your new list? You added to your list?
Oh, I have 100 things on my... Oh, no.
What were the two things you added to your soulmate, the ideal soulmate?
The two... a man who knows what he wants and goes after it. And a powerful man.
Not a man in a kilt?
That's a different story. That was last week. Okay, I did meet a nice man at a wedding in a kilt.
Yes,
okay.
She met a very nice man in a kilt.
Well, didn't Madonna's Guy Ritchie wear a kilt quite often? You know,
I only met him for 5 minutes, and then I got scared when he called because he might want sex, so I didn't call him back.
Well, that's what happens when you go up to somebody at a wedding and go.
It's either that or he wants to sell you encyclopedias.
No, you know what? She sees this guy in the kilts, realized he wasn't wearing any underwear, and said, "Hey, want to make out?" And that was the interlude right there.
Wow. Well,
and then I got scared. And I ran.
And then
ran
she got
somewhere.
Scared.
All right, well, maybe it wasn't meant to be.
No. My bark is much worse than my bite.
Okay, so you're saying a powerful man, and I think we need people who are powerful in our lives that are not going to disempower. The ability to allow someone to fulfill their dreams and to be all they can be and be as powerful as they're meant to be.
But what is the definition of power?
Well the power for me is not the same as everybody else, just somebody who is just very decisive and knows what they want and, you know, slightly aggressive, but wants to fulfill their dreams and their desires and go forth with everything that's abundant, you know.
Right, because Kim and Nicole and I are women who are pretty strong women. And, you know, you got to be a pretty strong man to want to be with us because, or woman, Nicole needs a strong woman.
I'll give you one of mine.
Okay.
Strong women because, you know, sometimes it can be for men, you know, they're not really wanting to empower women all that they should. And it's one of the things, if you can be there empowering your mate to be all they can be without being jealous or envious of their success, that's an important trait. To have that, you know, to be really happy for their success.
Well, you know what, I think it's important in any relationship to be like that. You know, whether it's a friend or a sister or a brother or anything, nobody should ever, I guess, experience that level of envy or jealousy for another person. You know, if you truly love somebody, whether it's platonic love or whether it's romantic love, be happy for them because you're not... asking the universe for anything positive for yourself by wishing somebody else, you know, to be less successful than they should be.
An excellent point because sometimes it becomes a competitive thing, you know, and it should always be a supportive thing. It should be each other.
What's a quote?
Cheerleaders and somebody's
quote, Baz Luhrmann.
I like the idea of the corner man. You remember the boxing matches, the guy who sits in the corner with the towel and the bucket? And you go out there and you slug it in them, and the bell rings. You come back, and then the guy has the towel, and he rinses you off, and the other and fans you,
and then
he slaps you in the butt. He says, "Go back after you." You spit into the bucket. He sticks the mouthpiece in your face, and he says,
"Ooh.
All right, go out there and kill him." But
everybody
needs that kind of a person that's right there supporting them.
Just
you
a
know?
Strong person, you know. I think that in a lot of relationships, people just. They fall by the wayside, you know, and they forget who they are. They become enmeshed so much they don't have individuality anymore.
Well,
you know, and individuality is a turn-on for me. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I love,
absolutely.
You know, somebody who just is creative and just has desires and dreams. It's fascinating.
I think you have to be yourself, and when you are yourself, you hit those harmonic chords that ring true and penetrate other people, and they can see that you're being genuine. And then that's where it all flows in. You've got to be you. You've got to be, you can't be a phony you. You've got to be a real you. And
well,
when
that's
you hit
what
that
power
harmonic,
is. Power is being your authentic self. That's power.
Right.
When you can be your authentic self, you've entered the realm of power.
I think people gravitate to people who are generally, you know, what you see, who they are. They're not phony. They're you know, he's real, you know. But I
well, some people are frightened by that as well because they might
yeah.
have to be real themselves.
Well, yeah, well, who wants to be around people who are frightened by people who are real?
It's very negative.
And again, it's you know you know this song from Ricky Nelson. You can't please everyone, so you got to please you might as well please yourself. I mean, it's pretty much you know an anthem that you know TJ plays that song around here sometimes, and it or sings it, and it's true. You know we're going to have a lot of critics, and so if you can be your real self, at least if someone's rejecting you, they're rejecting their real self. You know, and they're not rejecting your fake self. I mean, or if they're accepting your fake self, what good is that? You know, so being real. Is part of, you know, having an authentic love is being your authentic self. And, you know, because we've so distorted it, that's one of the steps in the book is getting to, you know, to understand who you, the real you is. And, you know, the whole book is probing who are you. You know, that it starts from the beginning to the end, who are you? And
that's from The Wizard of Oz? Who are you?
You know, so it's on the, it's all, everything you need is in your own backyard, pretty much. And, you know, coming to realize that. And another, I'm looking at the Ten Commandments of Soulmate Love, which is in the book, and one of them is that you should stand on your own two feet and not expect your beloved to carry your cross. I think it's really important. You get the gift of being a strong person who can, you know, carry your own weight in this world and not expect your mate to be carrying it for you, because that's an awful lot to do. And, you know, a lot of people are very enmeshed together and they're very interdependent or, you know, that's not healthy and it's not good. And so if you can really be a person who, you know, can take care of yourself, it's really nice to be with people who are sort of can do that. So you don't have to be mommy to a boy or, you know, have daddy to a girl. And it's really working at being our strong self and doing all we can to be an independent human being. And that's when
love... You also, I think also you have to be interesting but interested.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's a real important thing.
And again,
interested and interesting.
And being interesting is learning new things, you know, being the gift of being a person who learns new things, shares the things that they're learning. You know, a lot of relationships become very stagnant because nobody's learning anything new. I mean, it's, you know, you think you know everything about the person because there's nothing changed. So if you could keep learning something new or bringing something new to the relationship, it's important. You know, Kim's just reinvented herself. She has a new job. Nicole has a new job. You know, that makes you exciting people. You're learning new things, and it keeps you vital.
Well, I think communication is a very important factor because recently I had somebody, I said, why don't you communicate to your spouse what it is you exactly want? Oh, well, she would think I was crazy. I said, well, what are you afraid of? It's only words. You can put it out there. Put it out there. What are you afraid of? Take a chance. What can happen? I mean, you know, I say, if you don't take a chance, you'll never know. Do you want to live your life what if, or you want to know?
And that's important to take, you know, to speak your words and, you know, again, communication, which you're saying, we stress that in every radio show, the ability to communicate is important.
Isn't that
well, you know,
what a,
just
a
make
relationship?
It a conscious effort to do. What was
no,
that,
sorry.
TJ?
Is that
I was going to say, isn't that what a relationship is? It's sort of like a really good conversation that never ends.
Well for some people.
I stopped talking to my husband for 3 years, so.
So we know that.
Because I got tired of hearing the same thing.
Are you married to him?
Yeah. No,
no,
I am
not.
So that's because it was, you know, the conversation ended. But
correct.
A really good relationship is a conversation that does.
I continued to grow, and he stopped.
And then you stopped.
Sometimes you just outgrow people.
Right.
Well, you know, one of the tenets of the book is not all relationships are meant to last forever. And again,
no.
To end them in a karmically correct manner is important. But, you know, keeping the conversation always alive is important and not shutting down. You know, it is what happens in relationships when you're communicating, but it's not on the same page or... you know, you've told somebody something intimate and suddenly it's a weapon used against you. There are things that do end communication. So trying to keep that conversation going is very, very important.
Well, you know what, Cindy?
It's a three-way going. Nicole, what did we say?
I know we have a three-way going right now. No, that's why it's important, just like you said. You never, ever know which relationships are meant to stay. So that's why it's important for everybody, no matter, like I said before, whether it's romantically or platonically, to give the respect that you want to be given and to start seeing the world as you want to see it, not as plainly as it's shown to you. You know, because you might meet somebody. They might only be around for an hour. They might be around for 10 years. But what a waste of a relationship it would be, whether it was an hour or 10 years, to never ever say the things that you want to say and to never ever truly say the things that were on your heart.
And that's very important. And those of you who know that I talk to dead people, mostly what dead people are telling me is, could you please tell them that I love them? Could you please tell them that I'm sorry? Could you please... And I'm thinking, isn't it sad when you're dead, you have to look for a psychic to deliver messages you could have done yourself while you were alive? So, you know, saying the things that, you know, if you were to die tomorrow, did you say everything you wanted to say to the people that are in your life? Did you tell them that you love them? Did you tell them that you were sorry? Did you tell them that they pleased you or they made you happy or you're thankful they've been in your life? You know, did you say those words? Because it's going to be too late at one point, and, of course, you know, me delivering those messages are, you know, sometimes people cry because, you know, their mother never told them they love them or their husband never said the words, I love you. And I think that's not sad. So it is knowing that we have this gift, this ability to communicate, this ability to talk and use our words. And it's important that we think before we speak sometimes. And because we can be spontaneous, but sometimes we have to, like, think a minute before we say something that may be hurtful and can't be taken back.
As I said before, I think it comes to being truly interesting and truly interested. Those are two key ingredients. You've got to be interesting and you have to be interested.
I'm repeating it with
who you're talking with and who you're with. I think that's the whole secret, or not the whole secret, the whole naturalness of it.
And I always appreciate when someone actually is a good listener and they are interested in what I have to say. And I'm a very good listener. I think that's why my clients like me. And I never forget what people tell me. I listen very carefully. I listen to, as a playwright, I've learned subtext. I listen to what they're not telling me, what's underneath those words. I look at their body language to really understand things that they may be too ashamed or too frightened to say. So, you know, honing your ability to be a good listener and be interested in when you and your partner's talking is very, very important. You know, I grew up in a place where nobody listened to me. Nobody cared what I had to say. Never listened. And, you know, I talked very fast most of the time because I felt like I only had like 30 seconds to say something because they were all going to tune out in 30 seconds. And, I mean, I'm not kidding. It was like I had to say everything.
Six kids, we were all talking at one time.
Was anybody listening?
No.
So again, it's being a good listener, and sometimes, you know, what people aren't saying, we have to pay attention to. You know, we have to say they're not saying some stuff and, you know, and get our head out of the sand. You know, the gift of, like, you know, not hiding your head in the sand when you know someone you love has a problem. And because they're not discussing it with you, you just pretend it doesn't exist. And that's particularly true of parents. You know your children are going through rough times or they're, you know, they're really into something that's not good. And because they're not telling you and because you're not looking deep enough to find the evidence, you're just not there for them. So if you can give the gift of really being there for the people in your life, we're all busy. We all work way too much. And, you know, I know when Shauna was growing up, although I worked mostly from the home, there was a lot of things I didn't see and I didn't want to see them. And I wish I had paid more attention to the things she wasn't saying. And, you know, that's important. If your mate's not saying something and you realize they're upset, you know, maybe probe a little deeper, ask, and see if you can open that person to talk to and communicate to you. Because those are all important things, really, really paying attention to what's around us.
And sometimes meaningful silence is, a comforting, meaningful silence is a form of communication.
Absolutely. When you don't have to say anything, you're just really peaceful. It's all been said that day. Now we can all be quiet and be in the same space. You know, silence is important. There are people who can never be silent. Those are people that are chatter on and on and on and on and on. They talk and talk and talk, and you don't even know what the hell they're saying. It's like, what was that, you know? So also, maybe we could be the gift of shutting up sometimes. And,
that's when I press the mute button in my mind.
To shut up all the chatter, 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 you know. There's nothing where all of us know, kid, you know, been around kids that never shut up, you know, the kid that just goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And on. I love
wait a
my
minute,
children.
Don't talk too loud. She'll come back and she'll know that we're talking about her, though.
So we've got about 4 minutes, and basically what we've been trying to teach today is, you know, gifts of the heart. It doesn't cost money to love somebody. You know, TJ was saying at first he didn't want a relationship because, you know, especially in the Hamptons, it's like way too expensive to have a relationship in the Hamptons, you know. So it isn't about what can you give me financially, what do you have to offer me, what can you buy me or take me or give me. It's about what can we give each other that within our own bodies, our own hearts, our own souls, and our own mind. We have a wealth, a fountain of information and knowledge and love and joy that just can well from within us and give to each other that is beyond any material possessions. And that's new millennium love. A little bit, you know, we're all going to work. We all can buy ourselves all this stuff we need now. So what can we give each other that money can't buy? And
Cindy, I always tell people, go out and get yourself little Post-its and write a little post to your love once a day. It doesn't really cost anything. And you can just say something funny or something sweet or something, you know, a compliment. Something that you can say with your mouth, you can write down on paper.
Right, and it's nice to come home and there's a little note for you or something. And I try to do that for TJ when he comes here. There's a little note for him. It doesn't take long, and sometimes I don't even have that 30 seconds to do it, but I say, no, I'm going to take that 30 seconds. So, you know, all of us are busy, and it's taking that minute to say I love you or do something, you know, a kiss or, you know, running out the door. You're going to be late, but just give that minute kiss anyway because what the hell? You're going to be a minute late. You can give a kiss. And I think it's...
I'm going to hold you to this.
Hold the person.
All right, calm down over there.
hug a little bit, you know.
G-rated show.
G-rated show. No, it's actually mature audiences, but we'll still keep it, you know. But again,
PG-13.
PG-13. I know with Kim, she has her children that she loves and always does gestures of love for her children and does that extra mile for them. And, you know, children tend not to forget. I remember Shana had to start school in kindergarten. She was really scared, and so I made up the song Pretty as a Picture that she made me sing her every first day of school, you know, up to that high school, and then she said, enough, Mommy. But it was something that she was so happy that I had given her the gift of song, and when she came home from school, she said, Mommy, I was singing that song all day that I looked pretty as a picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those are things that we can give to our children and to our lovers. It doesn't cost money, but all the years in all of your life, you know, you just remember when someone said that kind word, you know, that kind gesture, you know, opening a door for you or, you know, just seeing you carrying a heavy package and can I help you? And those are things that we can do for each other. Now, time is up. Shout outs. I'm, you know, thanking
people. I do have a shout out. Thank you to my gentleman friend who sent me the pink motorcycle jacket. Now all I need is a Harley.
Or a scooter.
A skateboard. Roller
and
blades.
I love you all.
Pink, the little sneakers that are pink with the roller blades underneath, the little roller skates underneath them.
Why not?
That's good.
That works.
Nicole, you have anything?
Actually, I would like to just thank everybody that I told to listen tonight for listening. And as a word of advice to everybody that was listening, if you want any kind of help with your self-awareness, I suggest that you listen to Baz Luhrmann, Everybody is Free to Wear Sunscreen, because that is some of the best advice you will ever receive.
Amazing.
Well, yeah, no, that's true. All right, good night, everybody, and we'll speak to you next week, and I hope everybody has a great week, and Godspeed in your journey toward a higher love.
Good night.
Good night.
And, oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm going to be at the Vineyard this week, at Martha Clara's Vineyard on Vineyard in Riverhead, talking about the book, so 12 to 4 in Riverhead. Hope to see you people there. Bye.